listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in on this Thursday episode for you. We're going to look ahead to what's coming up in a couple hours in our weekly podcast. Going to talk about Survivor from last night. We've got Lovers and Liars on again tonight. They're going to replay episode one in case you haven't seen it. There is a reboot that is going to happen, just announced yesterday, that I am very, very excited for. We're going to talk a little bit about sibling envy in Hollywood as two people who are a brother and a sister that have more famous brothers and sisters talk about how, yeah, a little envious of their success. And there's another stupid headline regarding Travis and Taylor that we got to go over. We'll get to all this momentarily. Okay, you know I always start out with anything Bachelor-related, Bachelor News, Bachelor Nation, Bachelorette. Nothing new to report on in regards to Jen's season. Like I said, hit or miss, and they go overseas, and there's barely been anything that's gotten out. There are a few, again, rumblings that I've heard, but nothing that I can confirm other than what I've given you, which was the group date on Sunday and then little details from the comedy date the week before. But other than that, not a whole hell of a lot I can confirm right now. But there is, you know, the news I talked about yesterday, which should be coming tomorrow. So this isn't something you're going to have to wait forever for or anything like that. Just something I was tipped off about that it's coming tomorrow. Like I said, not very positive news in the franchise, but it is what it is. And you will be hearing about it tomorrow, but it's not my news to break. So just know, I just want to give you a heads up. Yesterday and today that it's coming tomorrow. So be ready for that. Coming up in a couple hours, podcast number, I believe 386. It is with good friend of the show, Jacqueline Trumbull, who has had a lot going on in her life ever since we had her on last. And I think one of the most amazing things about today's interview is she has a podcast called A Little Help for Our Friends. And, you know, she, going for her PhD. She's at Duke. She's been going on it. She has a year internship, or a year-long program that she has to do. She has to go to New York starting in September. So she's going to be gone out of North Carolina for a year. But on her podcast recently, she spoke with somebody with dissociative identity disorder, which used to be called multiple personality disorder, but it's now called DID. And I'm still kicking myself for not having listened to the interview before I interviewed Jacqueline. And I still haven't gotten around to listening to it, but I will this weekend because it was a fascinating conversation because she had on a fellow doctor and one of those fellow doctor's patients who suffers from DID. And during this conversation, the multiple personalities of this patient, who went by the name of Molly, obviously not her real name, but for privacy purposes, they just called her Molly. Molly was on the podcast. And I was like, so Jacqueline, when you had her on your podcast, she went into all of her different personalities? She's like, yeah. And look, I'm a skeptic. It just seems so incomprehensible that that is a thing. And not only a thing, this person, Jacqueline said, Molly, has either 13 or 23 different personalities. They all have different names. Some have different accents. Some are men. Some are women. And it's just so hard for me to comprehend. But I told her, I'm willing to give it a listen, and I'm willing to admit, man, I'm wrong. This is actually real, because it just doesn't seem real that somebody can have 13 different personalities. And my other big question was, I can understand someone having maybe one other one, maybe two at most. But the other thing I didn't understand was, well, Jacqueline is just a podcast host talking to her. Why would Molly break into her other personalities? And Jacqueline gave a very detailed answer, because to me it seems like something would have to trigger you trauma-wise for you to get to that state in your brain where you're now talking differently and you are taking on the personality of someone completely different than quote-unquote Molly. It is a really good conversation, and yeah, I'm very skeptical, but I haven't listened to the interview of Molly going into her different personalities. And I'm going to. I promise I'm going to. But you should take a listen because she says it's real. Like, she even said, I was skeptical. But you have to understand, this woman has been under the care in the Duke program. If she's fooling people and she's acting, she's fooled a whole institution because she has been under the care at Duke University for a while now. So I'm like, okay, no, I see what you're saying. And I don't want to discredit her. But yes, when you hear a story about that, you're like, huh? How is that even possible? Not to mention one of the things that one of her other personalities did was took a trip and spent a bunch of money and then came back and Molly takes over and realizes, oh my gosh, so-and-so in my personality went and spent a bunch of money. I'm like, that is so hard to believe. It's so incomprehensible to me. Like, let's just say I had a second personality and for the sake of argument, we'll call him, I don't know, Prick. And if we're using the same story that Jacqueline relayed to me about Molly, I get into this mindset where I have now this other personality called Prick. Prick goes and takes a vacation in Bora Bora, spends a bunch of money, and then comes back. And all of a sudden, I, boom, I'm back to Steve Carbone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where did all this money go? Oh, it was Prick. I'm like, wait, huh? I don't mean to laugh, but it's very hard to comprehend. It's very hard to believe that can happen. That it's the same living human being, but they change personalities and go do something that they shouldn't be doing and then come back to their normal self. And you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, this guy, personality, Prick, blew all this money. I'm like, I don't know. Very, very hard to believe, but go check it out. It's the most recent podcast on A Little Help for Our Friends. So go check that out. And yes, Jacqueline is our podcast guest coming up in a couple hours. You'll hear that interview. Really, really good stuff. A lot of good stuff talking about Joey and Kelsey's season. We'll talk about what's happened in her life since then. A PhD program in New York coming up in September. Just a lot of really, really good insight from Jacqueline. And her panel that she appeared on in New York, she had to go part of a panel that Chelsea Clinton was a part of about ADHD. And Jacqueline struggles with it. She gets into that about what her struggles it and how it manifests itself with her. Last week when I was talking about Survivor, I said, I feel like last week's episode, we started to get things going. Everybody had merged, even though they had the, well, you're not truly merged yet because this tribe has to win, and you know. But I said I liked the episode because it really seemed like people started playing. If last week wasn't the one that got the season going, last night certainly did. If you have not watched Survivor, then you can mute or fast forward. I'm going to talk about it for a couple minutes here. But I thought last night's episode was great. Why? Because we had two blindsides. And both blindsides were very well done. The people that got blindsided obviously had no idea it was coming. And both were very emotional. And I think that adds to the fact that, wow. And they weren't emotional because they got tricked or whatever. They're sure they were emotional because the game that they loved, they had just been ousted from. And the first one was Tim. And he had no idea because he was trying to plot against Q. And Q just said, you know, Q was in with Tim. They had that six strong alliance. But then Tim was like, no, we got to go for the Taylor Swift guy that's a big fan. I'm already forgetting his name. We got to go for him. And Q just said no. Then Q went to everybody and said, we got to get Tim out. And, but Q didn't vote for Tim. Everyone else did. So I don't know. Maybe they didn't fill Q in on what was going on. But Tim left, and he really left in tears. And then in the second tribal council, they sent home Soda. And Soda had no idea she was going home. I don't want to say I knew she was going home. But again, the way the show was edited and the fact that we had a blindside at the first one, I kind of felt like because it was a double elimination last night, there was going to be a double blindside. And that's exactly what they did. Two votes for Venus and four votes for Soda. And it was kind of one of these deals where, again, Soda had no idea it was coming. But the way they showed certain conversations, you felt as a viewer, this is probably where they were headed because Venus was almost too easy of a vote out. And it was just one of these things where I just didn't see where it was going to be Venus. You know, it just didn't seem that way. So they got Soda out, and she, again, was very much in tears as she was getting her torch snuffed, but basically said, hey, they got me. And just a really good episode last night. I think it's starting to pick up steam. Yes, I was very anti first four episodes because it was some of the worst episodes this show has ever produced. It really was. But now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. We only have 11 left, and they're all seeming to be good players outside of maybe one. I think Liz is just kind of there, but everyone else seems to be playing a good game here. And you can see it going a myriad number of ways. Is that the word? Anyway, good episode last night. I'm back on the Survivor Channel. I was going to watch it anyway, but I'm back on, okay, I like this season. We're going forward, and these guys are playing. The women are really strong. The men seem to be scheming, but the women are scheming just as much. It's a really, we've hit our stride here. I'm glad. This podcast is brought to you by Way. Ladies, you're too busy to be frizzy. Grab Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. It's getting close to summertime, and I know your hair frizzes in the summertime, right? Right? Telling you, this is a time-saving addition to your daily routine. It helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching dry hair with intense hydration. According to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theway.com and enter promo code REALITYSTEVE for 15% off any product. That's theway.com, theouai.com, promo code REALITYSTEVE for 15% off any product. Theway.com, theouai.com, promo code REALITYSTEVE. Episode 1 of Lovers and Liars airs tonight on the CW. It aired last Monday for those that didn't see it. If you didn't see it or didn't watch it on the CW website, you can watch it on the CW tonight. And then every Thursday from here on out, it's going to air Thursday nights on the CW. It's it's basically F-Girl Island, but we have three male leads this time. It's Benedict from Seasons 2 and Seasons 3 of F-Boy Island. It is CJ from Season 3 of F-Boy Island. And Casey from Seasons 1 and Seasons 2, Season 1 and 2 of F-Boy Island. So you're very familiar with the leads on this show. And as we know, the show does not take itself too seriously. It's what I like about the show the best. They're not looking to produce marriages out of this. And you can fall for Casey's bullshit if you want about, I'm looking to get married. I'm looking to have kids. Like, come on, Casey. Nobody buys that after seeing you on the first two seasons. Like, we know your game. Plenty of rumors out there on the internet as well. You know, it's just, but I'm fine with it because I don't take this show seriously. And I'm not looking for really strong connections or anything like that. It's a fun show. And the women, you know, when you watched F-Boy Island and you watched some of these men compete for the CJs and the Katie Thurstons and the Daniellas and the Sarahs, you're just sitting there going, okay, some of these guys are just obviously playing it up for the camera. They're total douches, but they're making good TV. It's now flipped onto the women. Some of these women contestants are very much playing it up for the camera. They don't care that they're out there for the money and they're using these guys, and they make it known. And that's what makes it fun. You know, like I said, I'm not going to take this show seriously and not going to be disappointed if someone's coming on this show, quote unquote, for the wrong reasons. They're all there for the wrong reasons. Let's not mistake it for anything else other than that. That's what they're there for. To get television time, to build a brand possibly, and to possibly win some money if you make it to the end and convince a guy to split the money with you. That's what these people are there for. Let's make no mistake about that. But it is entertaining in the meantime. And I really want to see how it plays out this season. You heard Benedict on the podcast, the weekly podcast, 2 weeks ago saying it's just as crazy as the first three F-Boy Island seasons. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it play out. So, again, if you haven't watched it, you can start on this season. Starts tonight. even though they already showed the first episode, they're re-showing it again tonight on the CW. Lovers and Liars, but yes, it's basically F-Girl Island. Did you see what's getting rebooted? How about this headline? Or this story? Well, we'll read the headline. From EW.com yesterday. Heather Locklear is returning to Melrose Place in a reboot with series OGs Daphne Zuniga and Laura Layton. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, if you're a, what are they? I'm not good with the whole Gen Z, Gen X, boomers. I don't even know what I am. I always forget. But basically, I'll just say this. If you were not of a teenage or in your 20s during the 90s when Melrose Place aired, this isn't really important to you. But to me, this is huge. This premiered in the summer of 1992 on Fox. It was basically a spinoff of Beverly Hills 90210. So this, they were still, Beverly Hills 90210 were still in high school. This was like an adult show, a bunch of hot people that live in West Hollywood and just drama that ensued. But it had some seminal moments in television history, which would be, you know, people wouldn't even blink at today. But, you know, when Kimberly returned, when everyone thought she was dead and pulled off her wig, that is a TV moment, probably top 10 in the history of television. Like, this show was the water cooler show once Heather Locklear came aboard and it got its feet wet. It was awesome. Now, is it going to be as good in 2024? Of course not. No reboots are. But it will be just interesting that they are trying to basically eliminate what happened when they brought Melrose Place 2.0 back in 2009. They're basically just going to dismiss that because Laura Layton's character, Sydney Andrews, was killed in the first 7 minutes when they rebooted the show. They're just bringing her back and just pretending Melrose Place 2.0 in 2009 never happened. So, but the log line for the show says, when one of their dearest friends dies suddenly, the OG residents of Melrose Place gather to honor the deceased. But the pressure cooker of a reunion soon uncovers old traumas, rekindles old romances, reignites old resentments, and reveals new secrets, throwing our characters into chaotic drama that's reminiscent of the past, but with a much, much more modern perspective. Ooh. Good stuff. Got me on the log line. Now, there's no way they do this show and don't bring back Thomas Calabro, because he was awesome. There's no way they don't bring Jack Wagner back. He was awesome. So, yeah, it looks like Heather Locklear, Daphne Zuniga, and Laura Layton are going to be, I guess, the mainstays, but there's definitely going to be appearances by Dr. Peter Burns, who was played by Jack Wagner, and Michael Mancini, one of the greatest villain characters in all of drama during the 90s. He was awesome. Anyway, can't wait for the show to be rebooted. I'm sure the women over at the Again With This podcast, who literally do episode recaps of Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place, are probably fired up about this. This just broke yesterday, so good to see we're getting a reboot. I'm all for it. There was a story on Us Weekly that talked about how Oliver Hudson and Robin Lively had a little sibling envy because of their peers that of their siblings that became much more famous than them. Oliver Hudson, the brother of Kate Hudson, and Robin Lively. I believe she's the half-sister of Blake Lively. Well, Robin Lively, you have nothing to be ashamed of because you played Daniel LaRusso's love interest in Karate Kid 3. And you got to make an appearance years later, a couple years ago, in Cobra Kai Season 5. So I don't want to hear that you should be that you're a little envious of Blake Lively. Yeah, she might be way more popular than you and might have been in a ton or more shows and movies than you and might be married to Ryan Reynolds. Big deal. You got to be in Karate Kid 3. And you got to play Daniel Russo's love interest, even though you guys never kissed and you ended up going back to your boyfriend in Ohio. But then the storyline for Cobra Kai, when she reappeared, was she ended up introducing Daniel to his current wife. I think they're best friends or sisters. It's one of the two, or they're related. Daniel LaRusso's wife in present-day Cobra Kai is Robin Lively's character, Jessica Andrews, from Karate Kid Season 3. I want to say Daniel's wife is Jessica Andrews' either sister, cousin, or best friend. It's been a while since I watched Cobra Kai. But the fact that they were able to bring her back so she can make a cameo in Season 5 was awesome. So, Robin, don't you dare be envious of Blake Lively. You have Karate Kid 3 on your resume and Cobra Kai Season 5. You can tell her to suck it. Now, final story of the day. Another stupid Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce headline. Did you see this one yesterday on Us Weekly? Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift spotted in a getaway car during date night in L.A. There have been worse headlines written about them, but they were leaving a club or a dinner place in Los Angeles. They were in the backseat of a car driven by somebody else, and they were shielding them from the paparazzi. But, of course, the little clever headline had to say it was a getaway car.
The getaway car.
Mystery. It was a car they got into. It's just so stupid. You don't have to kiss Taylor's ass by saying it was in a getaway car. It wasn't a getaway car. They left a restaurant and got into a car. Maybe even call it an SUV. It wasn't a getaway car. Although they were trying to dodge the paparazzi, that's probably why they used it. They were trying to get away from the paparazzi. But come on. It's just so corny. So bad. But, hey, this is what Us Weekly does. I'm not the least bit surprised. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Rate and review if you can. I'd really appreciate it. But you got to hit play. Doesn't count as a download if you just let it feed into your, you know, download into your feed every morning. Doesn't count. So just hit play. If you miss a day, please go back and hit play. It's the best way you can support the podcast, as well as also purchasing using my promo codes for any of the ads that I read myself. So please do that if you can. The Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. Interview with Jacqueline Trumbull, podcast number 380. I believe it's 387 will be up, or maybe it's 386. I always forget the number. That'll be up in a couple hours. A really, really good talk. We don't spend a whole hell of a lot of time on Bachelor stuff. That's at the very end. I think all of her, you know, the DID talk is fascinating to me. And then her talking about her ADHD, being on a panel for that, that was really interesting to me. Jacqueline has just always been a really good conversationalist and someone I consider a friend and I can talk to about anything. And I've even asked her for help in certain areas. So, and always has always been there for me. So appreciate her coming on. And really, really good conversation. I hope you listen to that coming up in a couple hours. Thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Steve!